Catechism, and copies of that on the back table if anyone needs them. The Westminster Larger Catechism there on the literature table. We're at question 120 today. We've been studying the Fourth Commandment for several weeks now. And the Fourth Commandment is one that commands us to keep a weekly Sabbath rest to the Lord. We have seen that from the creation of the world, our gracious Lord gave us a whole day each week to worship Him. It's so sad that in our fallen condition, that even after we've been redeemed, that we have to be commanded to keep this day. That the Fourth Commandment ever even had to be there at all. Because in creation, at creation, when God first made the world, He instituted the Sabbath at that time. And when He commands us, He says, remember the Sabbath day, because this is something that we forget. And that He should ever have even had to command us to do something that we ought to have been very motivated and encouraged to do. If we were not full of sin, then nothing would be able to keep us from setting aside a day that the Lord has appointed for us to be with Him. We wouldn't want to miss it for the world. But now in the Reformation, the Sabbath was restored to its rightful place by those who had come to a fresh understanding and participation in God's grace. They were full of gratitude to the Lord, what we were talking about this morning, because they understood what He had done for them. And they were so full of gratitude for creating them, for saving them from their sins. They could think of nothing that they would rather do than spend the entire day praising the Lord, encouraging their brothers and sisters in the Lord, feasting before Him, gathering with His people for public worship, communing with Him in prayer, sitting at His feet to learn His word, to learn of His grace, to receive instruction, all of these things. History is full of the examples of those who testify of their joy in the Lord's Day and waiting for the next week to come, when they can, the beginning of the next week, when they can rejoice before the Lord. But sadly, we live in a time when many have once again lost sight of our gracious God and of the great things that He has done for us. And therefore, we're not so motivated. As a result, we see churches turning away from the Sabbath day. Some turn away by making it a day of binding rules. That's a funny way to turn away, isn't it? They make it a day of binding rules, and they keep the Sabbath in a certain outward way, but they've lost the whole purpose of it is a day of joyful communion with God. It's all about just whether you keep the rules. Remember the elevator illustration and stuff. Others begin to allow other things to crowd out communion with God. Usually it begins with allowing ordinary recreations, you know, hobbies or crafts or sports or whatever. And then it leads to catching up on schoolwork and doing yard work and things of that nature. And soon it's just like any other day. No difference at all. But our Lord loves us, and He wants us to have communion with Him on the day that He has set aside for that purpose. And so it is for that reason that after He had redeemed His people, He commanded them to remember the Sabbath day. He commanded them to remember it. Okay, you know, the Ten Commandments were given to His people after He redeemed them. So He wasn't saying, okay, I want you to keep these commandments so you can be redeemed. No, it was after they had been restored to Him, reconciled to Him, brought out of Egypt, that He then said, okay, now let's remember the things that I instituted back at creation. He talked about marriage. He talked about the Sabbath. He talked about labor and stealing, all that kind of stuff. He had taken them as His people, and so He gave them these commandments to tell them how He wanted them to live as His redeemed people. And obviously, He wanted them to remember the day that He appointed, the day of rest from their common activities, whereby they would be able to serve Him. And because He knows what we're like, He knew that even after we're redeemed, that we would have a lot of trouble still with keeping the Sabbath. It's not always easy for us. And so He also gave us lots of reasons to keep that day. And that's what we're going to look at today, the reasons for observing the Lord's Day. Let's turn to three scriptures that speak about this for our scripture readings. The first one is the fourth commandment itself, Exodus 20, verse 8. Exodus 20, beginning in verse 8. And we'll read down through verse 11. Here's the word of God. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work. But the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord your God. In it you shall do no work, you nor your son nor your daughter, nor your male servant nor your female servant, nor your cattle nor your stranger who is within your gates. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea and all that is in them, and rested the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. There we'll end a reading of God's word from Exodus 20. Then we'll read again from Deuteronomy 5. This is the parallel account of the Ten Commandments, but we notice that there are some changes that are made. We've mentioned this before, that where in Exodus 20 it mentions about the creation, in Deuteronomy 5 it talks about the redemption that God has brought, that remembering the redemption. So Deuteronomy 5, verse 12, it says, "Observe the Sabbath day to keep it holy, as the Lord your God commanded you. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work. But the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord your God. In it you shall do no work, you nor your son nor your daughter, nor your male servant nor your female servant, nor your ox nor your donkey, nor any of your cattle, nor your stranger who is within your gates, that your male servant and your female servant may rest as well as you. And remember that you were a slave in the land of Egypt, and the Lord your God brought you out from there by a mighty hand and by an outstretched arm. Therefore, the Lord your God commanded you to keep the Sabbath day." Okay, and then over on in Hebrews chapter 4 for our last reading. Hebrews 4. And we'll look at the first 10 verses. "Therefore, since a promise remains of entering his rest, let us fear lest any of you seem to have come short of it. For indeed the gospel was preached to us as well as to them, but the word which they heard did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in those who heard it. For we who have believed do enter that rest, as he has said, 'So I swore in my wrath, they shall not enter my rest,' although the works were finished from the foundation of the world. For he had spoken in a certain place of the seventh day in this way, 'And God rested on the seventh day from all his works.' And again in this place, 'They shall not enter my rest.' Since therefore it remains that some must enter it, and those to whom it was first preached did not enter because of disobedience, again he designates a certain day, saying in David, 'Today, after such a long time, as it has been said, today if you will hear his voice, do not harden your hearts.' For if Joshua had given them rest, then he would not afterward have spoken of another day. There remains, therefore, a rest for the people of God. For he who has entered his rest has himself also ceased from his works, as God did from his." Okay, so there we'll end the reading of God's word. Now I draw your attention to question 120 of the larger catechism. And that question, of course, speaks to this very subject of the reasons that we are to observe this, given to observe the Sabbath. It says, "What are the reasons annexed to the fourth commandment, the more to enforce it?" And the answer is, the reasons annexed to the fourth commandment, the more to enforce it, are taken from the equity of it, God allowing us 6 days of seven for our own affairs and reserving but one for himself. In these words, 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work. From God's challenging a special propriety in that day, the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. From the example of God, who in 6 days made heaven and earth, the sea and all that is in them, and rested the seventh day. And from that blessing which God put upon that day, not only in sanctifying it to be a day for his service, but in ordaining it to be a means of blessing to us in our sanctifying it. Wherefore, the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. Now, you can see that there are four reasons that are mentioned in this exposition of the fourth commandment. And I want to look at each of these today as we this afternoon, and encourage you to call the Sabbath a delight. These are four reasons that we should. There's something bad wrong with our hearts if we know that God has given us this day to rejoice before him, and we consider it to be burdensome and oppressive to do so. Remember the illustration we had before about a woman who hates to spend time with her husband. You know, he wants to have a vacation with her, and she says, oh, I got to go and be with my husband, you know, that kind of thing. That's what we're like as the bride of Christ if we are not interested in spending the time that he has set aside for us. Psalm 118 says, this is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. So let's look at these reasons. Okay, the first reason for keeping the fourth commandment is that God has given you 6 days to do other things, which ought to be plenty of time. As the catechism says, God allowing us 6 days of seven for our own affairs and reserving but one for himself. In these words, 6 days shall thou labor and do all thy work. Now, I've run into a lot of people in our day that seem to almost boast that they don't have time to keep the Sabbath. You know, it's sort of the way of our society, isn't it, that we pride ourselves in being busy? People kind of like to boast about that. A husband says, oh, I've got so many important things to do that I don't have time to talk to my wife. The wife says, I've got such high and noble things to do that I don't have time to raise my children. The same way people will say, I have so much to do that I cannot possibly keep the Sabbath. You know, I have a test on Monday, the student says. I have an important hockey game. The young man declares, I have a crisis at the office, the CEO says. I have to get my crop in before the bad weather comes, the farmer says. You know, if you say that kind of stuff, then really, if you think about it, you deserve to be laughed at because you take yourself and your work too seriously. You mean to tell me that the things you're doing are so important that you don't have time to set apart for keeping God's day? Do you not realize that he's the one that gave you every day that you have? Do you realize who gave you the 6 days that you have to do your work on and also gave you the one to worship? Where do you think those days came from in the first place? Did you invent those days? Are you the author of those days? Did you generate your own life and did you generate the world that runs on a 7-day cycle? What arrogance it is to think that your work is so important that you can't acknowledge your Creator on the day that He's appointed. You know, what do you think about that? Is what you're doing so important that you can't, you have to break your appointment with God? You know, I've got so many important things to do that I can't meet with you, Lord. Are you really that important? I mean, you know, we're just frail little creatures. Our breath is in our nostrils. You don't uphold the world. You don't even uphold your own life. It's God that upholds the world and upholds your own little life. Yes, He's ordained labor as the means by which we provide for ourselves, but it's only a means that He provided. He has given you 6 days to use that means, and that's enough for you to do all that you need to do. If you think you need more, then you are mistaken. I can say that with certainty. You are under the delusion that you can bless yourself without God. And if you just have more time, you can bless yourself more. God has given you plenty of time to do all that you need to do in the 6 days under His blessing. If you need more than that, then you must be doing a lot of things that aren't for Him. Maybe you need to figure out what you need to cut from your schedule that's not for Him. Or perhaps you need to become more diligent on the other 6 days. Let me add that when you learn to keep the Sabbath and feast on this day, it will also help you to put other things in better focus, okay, to get the other days in better focus. Many people today toil endlessly, and they never think about anything else but the work that they've got before them. You know, it's like this continual churning, and there's never a cessation from that. And, you know, all of a sudden their children are growing up, and they never even talked to them before. You know, the children are going off to school or whatever, and oh yeah, those kids, I never really got to know them before. They've never had time for anybody else. Keeping the Sabbath helps you to get your labor in the right perspective, you see, as you stop and think and focus on the Lord. Those who learn to feast on the Lord's Day, for example, will begin to reconsider about all the meals that they eat standing in front of the microwave oven. You know, maybe it's a good idea to get our family together and to sit down at the table on even a regular basis. They realize that it's good to do such things, to commune with each other, and that it's good to set aside time for worship each day. That life is more than just a rat race where you're running endlessly trying to get another dollar or trying to get another promotion or whatever it is that you're looking for. The limitation on our work to 6 days also helps us in other ways. It helps you to remember that all labor is for God's glory. Labor is a wonderful gift that God has given us. And it's for His glory. It was ordained at creation. We sometimes think labor is bad. Well, the reason we think that is because labor was cursed after we fell. But labor in itself is good. Our labor was cursed and we face hardships and difficulties in it. But labor itself is a good thing, and we glorify God by living faithfully and a calling to Him. He is the one who calls us to fill the earth and subdue it. And I'll be the first to say that we need to recover a high view and value in the idea of a calling. We're all priests of the Lord. And the work that we do for one another all through the week is our service that we bring before God. But the Sabbath reminds us that it is not just labor that we're called to do. You see, when we're called to rest from it, we realize that there's more than just labor. When we come apart from our work, we acknowledge that He has authority over it. It reminds us that it is to be done for His glory at all times because it is something that He gave us. He can tell us when to stop. He can tell us when to do it. There's no other reason for our labor but for God's honor. If we forget that, which we will invariably do if we don't keep the Sabbath, our work will all be worthless and useless. No matter what we may think about it. Oh yes, we may prosper, and we may make a lot of money, and we may accomplish a lot of things, but if it's not done for the right reasons, what good is it? Labor that is not done for the glory of God is an idol. Or it's a way of serving idols, maybe. It's no longer a good thing at all. Whatever you do that is not for Him will be lost on the day of judgment. And then what will it matter? You know, Jesus says you gain the whole world and lose your own soul. What do you have? So limiting work to 6 days is something that reminds us that our labor is for God's glory. It also is about loving our neighbor. God tells us to give our servants and our sons, you saw that in Deuteronomy 5, our servants and our sons and our daughters and even our animals rest on the Sabbath day. So here again, you know, are you so important that you got to have people working for you 7 days a week? The Sabbath is a very merciful provision of God for working people. You are an oppressor if you require people to work on the day that God has given them a holiday. What would you think of somebody that made their employees work all the time and wouldn't give them a holiday? The Sabbath helps you remember that those who work for you under God. In other words, He is over you and those who work for you. You're not at the top. God's at the top. And of course, we talked about that a lot last week when we looked at the authority. But here again, we see that this is part of the reason why we keep the Sabbath. Because there's plenty of time for people to serve you. You know, six days, you've got a bunch of people working for you. You've got 6 days every week. Do you really have to squeeze out another day? That's the idea. There's plenty of time. Plenty of time for you to do your work. Plenty of time for people working for you. God has given us 6 days to do our work, and that's all we need. That's the first reason. Second reason for keeping the fourth commandment is that God has claimed the Sabbath day as His own. Of course, this has a lot of overlap with what we just saw. The larger catechism says, from God's challenging a special propriety in that day. The seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. See, it belongs to Him. That's what special propriety means. It speaks of God's ownership of that day. You know, proprietorship, that you own something. So it's the Sabbath of the Lord your God. That's what it says in the commandment. He owns that day in a special way that He doesn't own other days. Now, we've talked about that already to a large extent in our study, so I'm not going to go into a whole lot of detail. But you know that in Revelation, that John uses the term for the Sabbath that became very common in the early church. In Revelation 1:10, he says, I was in the Spirit when? On the Lord's day. And then he begins to explain his vision. But that term, the Lord's day, that's calling the Sabbath the Lord's day, reminded them that it was a day that belonged to the Lord. It's like the Lord's house, the Lord's work, the Lord's whatever. This is something that belongs to the Lord's day. That's why it's to be hallowed and set apart from other days. And then Isaiah 58, in a similar way, God refers to the Sabbath as my holy day. When he says, if you turn your foot, this is 58:13, if you turn your foot from the Sabbath, from doing your pleasures on my holy day, and call the Sabbath a delight, the holy day of the Lord honorable, and shall honor him, not doing your own ways, not finding your own pleasure, nor speaking your own words, then you shall delight yourself in the Lord. And I will cause you to ride on the high hills of the earth, and feed you with the heritage of Jacob your father. The mouth of the Lord has spoken. So you see how it's a matter of ownership. You know, you are to do the special things that he has called you to do on his day. It's a day that he's reserved. Of course, this doesn't mean that the other days don't belong to him, does it? They do, don't they? The other days belong to him too. It's just that the Sabbath belongs to him in a special way that the other days do not belong to him. In fact, when you recognize that the Sabbath belongs to him, then you're also going to get the other days in a right perspective in the way that they do belong to him. It's like the tithe. What does God say of the tithe? He says, it's my tithe. He calls it in Malachi. And what does that teach us? Teach us that everything we have belongs to him. And yet he has appointed that we return that 10% to him. And in doing that, then we get a perspective on the other 90%. That all of this belongs to the Lord. So in the same way, one day in seven, he says, come worship me. We take that one day and we honor the Lord with it. And then we remember, hey, these other 6 days belong to God too. They have a different purpose, but they also belong to him. So when God says my tithe, he's not saying the other things don't belong to him. Everything belongs to him in heaven and earth. When he says my day, he's not saying the other days don't belong to him. They all belong to him. That's the idea. Keeping the Sabbath can even help you to break addictions. For example, if you're addicted to sports, you have to give them up for a day. I know a man who said that he realized, you may have read his book, Joey Piper. He talks about it in his book on the Sabbath. And he says that he realized that he was had made football into an idol. Because when they started, he was a football fan for a long time. And when they started playing on Sundays, then he wasn't able to watch the games anymore on Sunday. He had to record them or whatever. He couldn't watch them on that day and observe the Sabbath. And he realized that it had become an idol to him because it was very difficult for him to be able to set that aside. And so you come to recognize that. In the same way, you realize the covetousness that you have, like with tithing, what I was talking about before. You know, I can't give this up. I just can't give it up. I can't live without it. I can't give this day up to the Lord because this other thing is more important to me. And it has to, it stands in the place. Same thing with a hobby or whatever it is, or just plain work. It's become an idol, you see, if it's something that you can't give up. Mind you that all of your recreations and all of your labor belongs to the Lord when you remember that this day is his day. Recognizing his ownership of the day is also a way to confess that he is your Lord and Master. You know, we often like to come up with our own ways of confessing God, and maybe that's not always a completely wrong thing, but sometimes, often it is. Especially when we bring it into worship, then it is wrong. Take baptism, for example. There's many people in our day that we have all these crusades and things like that go on around the world, and they've substituted going forward in an altar call in the place of baptism. God says, confess your faith through baptism, in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. But we rather say, we do it by going forward at the altar call. Keeping the Sabbath is another thing where we've sometimes, God has given that as a way of confessing him, but we use other means. Let me read to you Exodus 31:13. God refers to Sabbath keeping as a sign that we belong to him. He says, speak also, this is Exodus 31:13. Speak also to the children of Israel, saying, surely my Sabbaths you shall keep, for it is a sign between me and you throughout your generations, that you may know that I am the Lord who sanctifies you. You shall keep the Sabbath, therefore, for it is holy to you. It is a sign between me and you throughout your generations. Okay, now when you use this day for the worship of God, then you declare to your family and to your friends and to those you work with, and to those that you're acquainted with, that you belong to the Lord. If they try to draw you away, and they try to urge you to work, and they try to get you to enter into inappropriate recreations, they find out that you have a master. You have a master in heaven. Your unbelieving mother can try to pressure you to go to the fair or to go shopping or whatever it is that she's trying to get you to do. And she finds out that she can't lord it over you because there's someone in heaven that has spoken that has a bigger voice than her. And he is your master and you're following him. You show her that this day is non-negotiable because he is the Lord of all and he is your master. You've been given orders from him. And he has commanded you to give this day to him and not to your mother or to anyone else. Even better than that, you can show them that you do not want to use this day for any other purpose. Sabbath keeping is not just a sign to others, it's also a sign to you. God says a sign between me and you. It gives you the assurance that you belong to him when you obey his commandments. Remember what it says in 1 John chapter 2? 1 John 2:3. It says, now by this we know that we know him, if we keep his commandments. Jesus said that as well in the Gospels. It says, he who says, I know him, and does not keep his commandments is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whoever keeps his word, truly the love of God is perfected in him. By this we know that we are in him. So when you keep God's day, which is one of his commandments, then you assure yourself that you belong to him. It's a sign that you know him. Because you keep this, you do it because God said to. He's your master. He's your Lord. When you love to keep the day, you show that you love him. Hey, that's the second reason. The third reason for keeping the fourth commandment is because God's example of keeping the day. The Larger Catechism says, from the example of God, who in 6 days made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that is in them, and rested the seventh day. He rested, so you're to do the same. Follow his example. God commands us to enter into the pattern that he established when he made the world. It's a pattern of working and then finishing our work. See, in this world, there's a completion of things. Some of the Greeks had the idea that time is cyclical. You know, it just goes round and round. There's actually that in one of the Christmas songs we often hear at this time of year. It talks about the ever-circling years. Not ever-circling years. There's linear years. God is moving from one place to another in his work. It doesn't go round and round like a squirrel running on a wheel. There's the beginning and an ending. There's a start and a finish. The biblical view of history is linear and not cyclical. By keeping the Sabbath, we learn the pattern that God has made for the world. We learn that there is destiny and there is progress. There is the beginning of the week. There is the end of the week. Just as the Lord finished his work, so you're to finish your work each week. And the day will come when you will be completely finished with your work in this fallen world. You need to be able to say with Paul at some time, as he did in 2 Timothy 4:7, I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. See, you're not just here to kill time, in other words, just to hang out. But you're here to complete the work that God has given you to do. If you're young, then maybe that work is preparing for a calling. You need to have that sense of purpose. Time is marching on. Soon it won't be any more time for preparation. You have to complete your preparation so you can move into the calling itself that God has. And in general living, you need to finish what you have been given to do. Don't slack off until the work is done. Saw that with Jesus recently, his example of going all the way through to the cross. God planned our redemption. And then he carried out his plan according to schedule. In the fullness of time, he sent forth his son in history, born of a woman. At the time appointed, he was crucified on the cross. And after that, he declared, it is finished. Work was complete. And that's why we have a Sabbath. Because he rested from his work that he'd finished. He was done. He was over. It was over. So this applies to everyday work. If you begin a project, bring it to completion. Set deadlines so that you can do your work like God does his. He wants you to follow his example. Those who do not work for other people are more subject to depression in this world because they don't have someone setting deadlines for them. So they're just kind of coasting along, right? What's more, by His example, God teaches you to rejoice in completed work. First of all, He teaches you to rejoice in the work that He finished for you. God was glad and rejoiced when He finished creating the world. He said, "It is very good." We're told that the angels rejoiced. And even more, when Christ finished His work on the cross, He rejoiced. The work of redemption was done. And it's for us to follow His example and rejoice in the finished work of creation and redemption every week. God wants us to rejoice with Him in those finished works that He has done. He also calls us to rejoice before Him in the work that we complete. Each Lord's Day, we should come and we should rejoice in what He has given us to do over that past week, and come before Him with thanksgiving for what He has given to us, and rejoicing in what we were able to do for His glory, rejoicing in the work of our hands. It talks about in Psalm 90. And of course, as you rejoice in work completed each week, you will also be more inclined to give thanks to God when you finish the bigger task. You see what I'm saying? It sets a perspective for you that if each week you're thanking Him for whatever you were able to accomplish that week and you're looking onto the next week, then it helps you whenever you finish a big task, like maybe you're building a house and you get finished and you're already thinking in this way that I finished this work and I rejoice in this finished work, just as God rejoiced in His finished work of creation. And all the while, you know, you realize that God Himself rejoices with you in your completed works. Ever think about that? Our labor, remember what I said before, it's for His glory. So when you finish, say you finish remodeling your house or something, the Lord who gave you that work to do for your family rejoices with you when it's complete. There's communion with Him in the joy of completed work every Lord's Day. And at last day, God's going to rejoice in all the work that we have done for Him. Remember how Jesus comes and He says, "Well done, good and faithful servant. You've been faithful in these little things. I'll make you faithful in many big things." It's very motivating to know that He is cheering us along, rejoicing with us in our work. But you see, we need to have this perspective that God has given us. If we're just out there running like the squirrel in the cage, we're not acknowledging these things. We're not following the example of God of working, finishing, and rejoicing. Working, finishing, and rejoicing. Okay, so that's the third thing. When you keep the fourth commandment, you follow His example of working and then rejoicing in completed work. The fourth reason for keeping the fourth commandment is that God has made the Sabbath to be a blessing for us. He has a blessing. He's just waiting for you. Hey, you think about this. Somebody prepares a big meal. You know, a woman works really hard and she's prepared this beautiful meal. She has it all laid out. And then her family says, "Oh, I can't come. You know, I've got to go and do something." Well, that's discouraging, isn't it? You know, there's this big turkey on the table and all this sort of thing. He has a blessing waiting for us to come on the Lord's Day. The Catechism says, "And from that blessing which God put upon that day, not only in sanctifying it to be a day for His service, but in ordaining it to be a means of blessing to us in our sanctifying it." With the words, "Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it." So you need to understand what it means when God blesses something. Sometimes we get that kind of messed up in our minds. But when He blesses something, He blesses it for us. Like if He blesses your marriage, it means that He makes that marriage pleasant and beneficial for you. If He blesses your work, does it mean that your work is really, really happy now? No, it means that He makes that work a blessing to you and for you. If He blesses the day of the week, does it mean that that day is really, really happy and prosperous? No, it means that He gives you that day, He makes it beneficial to you. So when you ask Him to bless your food, what are you asking Him to do? Say, "Make my food happy today, Lord. Help it to be prosperous." No, you're asking God to bless that food unto you. He blesses it for your sake. So when God blesses the Sabbath day, it's not for the day's sake. It's for your sake. That's the idea. He's going to do something good on the Sabbath for you. He's doing something good for you through the Sabbath, making it a blessing. Jesus made this very clear in Mark 2:27 when He said, "The Sabbath was made for man and not man for the Sabbath." So that was the way the Pharisees were acting, right? You know, we've got to sanctify the day so that the day can be... It's like the day was the focus rather than it being a blessing to them. The day is not for itself. It has no intrinsic value. But it's a value to you who keep it. So if you know that God has blessed something, what should you do? If He's put a blessing in something, you should be really eager to go and get that blessing. Just think of it this way. If I have cancer and I know that there's a certain cancer treatment that has really been effective and that, you know, the doctor tells me, hey, this is the cure for the kind of cancer you have. It's worked in, you know, 99% of the cases. And you say, wow, this is great. You know, I'm going to go and get that treatment. I want to have that treatment because there's a blessing in it for me. You have heard that it works. And now in faith in what the doctor said about that medicine, you go and you use it. You can be even more certain that there is a blessing in something that God has promised to bless specifically. You honor Him by going diligently and expectantly to the place where He calls you to go for blessing. You dishonor Him by not believing, by avoiding what He has said He will bless. God is very gracious, and He loves to have His children run to Him to get a blessing from Him. God has blessed the Sabbath day, so you ought to be eager to keep the day, looking eagerly and expectantly for His promised blessing each Lord's Day. Prepare yourself for blessing on that day. Pray and ask Him to give you the blessing that He promised. Pray all through the week. We talked about that last Lord's Day, I think. If you have not found the Sabbath to be a blessing, then it's probably because you're not setting the day apart to Him as one who is looking in faith for what God has promised. Now, what blessing should you expect to find on the Sabbath day? That's a good question to ask, isn't it? Does it mean that you're going to get really rich? Like the TV preacher says, you know, you give me this money and then you'll be rich. You know, is that the promise that we have? Well, it's on this day that God especially blesses His Word. Now, His Word blesses us all through the week, doesn't it? But especially on the Sabbath day. Jesus has called His servants to assemble His people together and declare His death and resurrection and the remission of sins on the Lord's Day. We've seen in Psalm 22 how He promises to cause His people to hear and rejoice from generation to generation as He calls them together to declare His Word to them. How does Jesus declare the Word? Does He come and talk to us? No, He sends forth ambassadors. He sends forth His servants who speak in His name. And His voice is heard as they declare the Word of God. And He blesses His people as His Word is declared and received by us, especially on the Sabbath day, which is the day He has appointed for the assembly, for the ecclesia, the gathering of His people, to receive the Word. Related to the Word is the Holy Spirit. The Word and Spirit always go together. God doesn't give the one without the other if He's giving it in a way of a blessing. He gives the one with the other. Since God has blessed the Sabbath day, and since He particularly blesses people by giving them the Holy Spirit, then this is surely another blessing to look for on the Lord's Day. All the more so because Jesus shows us that with His action at Pentecost. What day of the week was Pentecost? The first day of the week. What did He do on Pentecost? He poured out His Spirit upon His church. He set a pattern for us that every Lord's Day we look for Him to pour His Spirit upon us as His people. And what does God do when He gives us the Spirit? Well, He sanctifies us. He comforts us with His Word. You ought to look for Him to renew and strengthen your faith on the Sabbath day, to convict you of your sin so that you can turn from it. He doesn't do it to beat you down. He does it so you can turn to it and live before Him, to comfort you with His promises, to instruct you in His way and to give you grace to walk in His way. He builds you up to stir you up in love for your neighbor, to stir up your love for God, your appreciation of what He has done for you in Christ. That's what the sermon was about today, this morning, about all that He's done for us, how His grace flows to us, and we grow in our appreciation of what He's done. And we grow in our joy in Him. But that doesn't happen without the Spirit. And we should expect Him to bless others on the Lord's Day as well. Now, the Sabbath is the best day for evangelism. Don't mean that other days are not good. But urge your friends and relations to come and hear the word. You know, we've seen people come to know the Lord in that very way. That they came and they listened to the word of God from week to week. And then eventually they came to understand. God opened their eyes. God promises this in connection with the Sabbath. Isaiah 56, verse 6. Says also the sons of the foreigner who join themselves to the Lord to serve him and to love the name of the Lord, to be his servants. Everyone who keeps from defiling the Sabbath and holds fast my covenant, even them I will bring to my holy mountain and make them joyful in my house of prayer. The burnt their burnt offerings and their sacrifices will be accepted on my altar, for my house shall be called a house of prayer for all nations. The Lord God who gathers the outcasts of Israel says, yet I will gather to him others besides those who are gathered to him. You see, here's the promise that he's going to gather in the nations to the gospel who keep the Sabbath. But notice the sort of blessing described in verse 8 for them. It says, yet I will gather to him others besides those who are gathered in. So not just the Jews, but also the Gentiles. God will add to our assembly. He will bring people to faith as we bring them to hear God's word. He blesses our fellowship and he blesses our feasts on the Lord's Day. When God called his people to rejoice before him in their feast days, he promised that he would bless them. You can be sure that you will get much more good by keeping the Sabbath than you will by breaking it to do something that you think will bless you. Isn't that the reason that you break the Sabbath? I mean, you don't maybe consciously think this, but you think that by doing your own thing, that you're going to get something good, you know, a greater blessing. You're making a decision. You're saying it's going to be better for me to do this than do this, or else you wouldn't do it. And we don't go and do stuff that we know is not going to be beneficial to us. You think there's a greater blessing in that ball game or that movie or in that work that you want to do or whatever it is than in keeping the day to the Lord. Perhaps it's appropriate to quote Isaiah 58 once again at this point. Isaiah 58, 13. If you turn away your foot from the Sabbath. Remember what that phrase means? It's a little bit of a tricky one. Turn your foot away from the Sabbath. It means you don't trample on it with your own muddy shoes, with your own works. You don't bring your own things onto the day. If you turn away your foot from the Sabbath, from doing your own pleasure on my holy day, and call the Sabbath a delight, the holy day of the Lord honorable, and shall honor him, not doing your own ways, nor finding your own pleasure, nor speaking your own words, then you shall delight yourself in the Lord, and I will cause you to ride on the high hills of the earth and feed you with the heritage of Jacob your father. The mouth of the Lord has spoken. God promises to bless your whole life if you will keep the day that he has appointed. Since God says he blesses the day, then look to him to do it. Pray that he will bless you. Pray that he will enrich you. Come into the day with prayer and expectation. Come with faith. Keep the day. You have so many reasons to do so. Let's just review them quickly. God has given you 6 days for your own work. It's plenty of time. He has claimed a special ownership of the seventh day. He has given you his own example. And he has blessed the day. Let's stand, give thanks to him. Heavenly Father, how kind you are to us as your people. We thank you, Lord, for how you came to your people in the ancient time when you first gathered them together, brought them out of Egypt, and you gave them your commandments. And that one of those commandments was that they would remember the day that you had established from the beginning, from the creation of the world, when you made the world and rested on the seventh day and blessed and sanctified that day. Father, you have blessed the day. And it wasn't blessed for itself, but you blessed it for your people that you had made. And we know, Lord, that in sanctifying that day and hallowing it, that we will find your blessing. And we pray, Lord, that you would help us to keep the Sabbath day holy. Father, that we would realize that we have plenty of time to do all the things that we need to do on the other 6 days. That even though our society does not honor your Sabbath, and sometimes we have to be left out of certain things because they're pressing us to do them on those days, that yet, Lord, you have given us plenty of time with the 6 days that you have given us. We thank you, too, that you have claimed a certain ownership of that day, that we remember that all days belong to you as we come and keep this day. And we praise you, Lord, that you have also set an example for us, that you yourself have kept that day, and that you've taught us to rejoice in your finished work, and then to rejoice in our own works that are completed. And we pray, Lord, that we would realize that pattern and not just be on an endless cycle of running, 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 playing, 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 whatever it is. We also pray, Lord, that you would help us to see the blessing that you have put in the day, that we would be very earnest about obtaining that blessing. Father, we honor you when we seek the blessing that you have put in something. We pray that we would have faith, Lord, that we would believe that there is a blessing in it, and that we would live as if we believe that. We know that if we do believe it, we will live that way. And we thank you, Lord, that you open us to believe these things, even in a day when so many people do not acknowledge you. Father, help us to find the things that you have spoken in your word and to live them out. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.